We are actually going to wrap up our series, All Things New, this morning. So I hope for you it has been a life-giving series. It has been for me. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It's actually been a bit of a struggle trying to keep it each week within my 2.5-hour slot that I've been given. But we've done it, right? Last week, my goodness, I didn't even realize, but I occasionally go back. It's painful, but to watch, and I watch the teaching, and I'm like, it was a bit lengthy. I didn't get bored, and it was me, but I still was nitpicky. I'm like, come on, man. Wow, you move your hands a lot, is what I was thinking. We are going to wrap up this series, and what we have been trying to do throughout this series is kind of doing a 50,000-foot, like, zoom out and get the meta-narrative of the scriptures and looking at how God is in the process throughout the story of making all things new. And so what we've tried to do, or what I've tried to do, is back up some weeks and go, let's get a big view of the scriptures. Then the next week, now we're going to zoom in and look at kind of the same theme, very much so, but let's look at it in more of an intimate story. Here's a story from the scriptures that shows that bigness within the intimacy of Jesus connecting with people and how that unfolds. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to zoom out one more time and go big, meta-narrative. And then we'll zoom back in by listening to a couple stories from our community of what this looks like in our lives today. So if you're with me, we're going to zoom out and get a big picture. And I really had to work hard to keep this thing tight. I want to do an entire series on this content today, but do a whole thing. So maybe it's a new wine at some point, because it has just been doing a number on me for a while, and I want to do more. Our friends in Puerto Rico are asking for a lot of this, just so you know as well. So it's kind of just one of those bigger, growing things. I'd love to pray, and then off we go. Gracious God, we bless you for right here, right now, this time that we have with you. And with one another, we're gathered here as your body, the church, and we desire to hear from you. So may our ears be tuned into what you have to say, our hearts open, available, and pliable for what you are saying and doing even now. So God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation and posture of my heart bring honor and glory to you and you alone. And we praise you, God, our Creator. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're going to jump in. It will be lots of fun to get us started. A couple questions. It's always good to frame things. A couple questions. What would you say? You don't have to answer them. You can just answer them in your head. But what would you say is at the center of your life? What is at the center of your life? Because whether or not you're aware of it, or we're aware of it, we live from the center. We live from whatever that center is. There is everything in life kind of flows from this place. So the question then becomes, is your center big enough to hold your identity, your purpose, your heartbreak, and your heart hunger? Because your heart hungers for things, and then your heart breaks in the midst of life. So can your center hold that massive story that is unfolding, that is in you? And what we need then is a combination of a strong center, but a flexible center as well. So that's kind of our starting point to be thinking. This then takes us into a word about the Word. So then, other than God and people, so that's one and two, I'm giving you the top ones. Other than God and people, what do you think is mentioned more than any other living thing in the Bible? God first, people, and then there's a third. Any guesses? Any other thing in the Bible? God, people, and third is? Yeah, trees. 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 Trees, trees, trees. The word for trees in the Hebrew is the word eights. That's pronounced eights. Go ahead and say eights. Eights. It means tree, wood, stick, or branch. It actually is wider and wider and wider and wider. It has all of these touch points to it. And so we're going to then, when I say that, and you're like, what? That seems like a random fact. Fine, but we're going to move into what I think could be my most important teaching that I give. And we're going to do a brief look at trees. So there's a tree, get this, there's a tree on the first page of Genesis, in the first Psalm, on the first page of the New Testament, and on the last page of Revelation. Every significant theological event in the Bible is marked by a tree. From the fall to the flood to the fulfillment of the Messiah, every major event has a tree, a branch, fruit, seed, or some sort of tree marking the spot. Every major character in the Bible appears in conjunction with a tree. Jesus declared the kingdom of heaven is like a tree. The only thing Jesus harmed was a fig tree. Real quick aside, this is just because I have to. Do you know this story where Jesus curses a fig tree? He is on his way to the temple and he curses a fig tree. But what that does is, in the Hebrew scriptures, the fig tree becomes a symbol for the coming temple. For the tabernacle, then the temple, the fig tree becomes a symbol for the temple system. So when Jesus, because you ever read that story and you're like, well, why does he get all hacked off? Because the thing is, he's like, he's angry at figs, Jesus. But then we all kind of go, well, when I don't get breakfast in the morning, I get a little hangry. But what Jesus is doing is he's on his way to the temple and he's drawing a picture. He's doing something very symbolic. He looks at the fig tree and says, cursed are you. May you not produce fruit anymore. What he's actually declaring is judgment on the system. Here's the thing. In the beginning, when Adam and Eve sin, when they choose selfishness, it says in their shame, they covered themselves with what leaves? Fig leaves. Interesting. So they're like, we blew it. We're going to try and hide behind our shame, our brokenness, behind fig leaves. Then all of a sudden, the temple system gets the symbol of fig tree, which is to say, temple, are you going to be fruit-giving, fruit-bearing, or not? Jesus makes an announcement as he's heading to the temple, you have failed. So may you just not bear fruit anymore because you have failed, system. Very much what would be a very accurate comparing is, hey, I just got invited to go to the White House and be at the White House and meet all these important people. On the way to the White House, you burn the American flag. That's what Jesus just did. Because what he's saying is, what you're supposed to be about, what you are supposed to stand for, you have failed at. So I'm calling you out. And we wonder why Jesus was killed, correct? Okay, so that wasn't in my notes. Anyways, the only thing Jesus harmed, a fig tree, and the only thing that could harm him is a tree. And I could go on and on. And I did it in the side. But I'll stick to a couple highlights here. There is a poetic, rhythmic movement to the creation account of Genesis 1. So here's a very brief skimming of this rhythm. Day one, one thing happens. In Genesis 1, on day one, one thing happens. Light. Day two, one thing happens. Day three, two things happen. Oop, we hang on to that. There's a rhythm. Day four, one thing happens. Day five, one thing happens. Day six, two things happen. Oh, very interesting. Now, the bonus thing in day three was fruit-bearing trees with seed for creating more trees. And so Genesis 1, verse 12 says this. We get this picture. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed, according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was tov. It was good. Now, the bonus thing in day six is the divine creating human beings, in which, verse 28, it says this. God blessed them, and God said to them, what? Be fruitful and multiply, fill the land. People summoned to bear fruit and multiply, which they can because of seed. Yeah, it's great. Fruit bearing, a symbol for growth and goodness. Brilliant. So two things. First, this highlights a central way to understand the Bible. Bible study, little nugget here, okay? So write this down if you take notes of this nugget. Great. The storytellers of the scriptures, all of it, the storytellers write by way of repetition with variation. That's how I would write it down. Repetition with variation. You see, throughout the scriptures, there will be repetition, but they'll vary. Here it was, fruit-bearing creation, fruit-bearing trees. Oh, we'll write about it here, but now fruit-bearing people. And so you'll see this all throughout scriptures. They start with one thing, and then they'll say, it is like. And so then they just go, well, let's vary the thing, but really the dominant key is there, right? So, secondly, in these texts, the new thing the divine is creating that which can continue creating. Are we catching that? Which means, and I love this, people are like trees. The author of Genesis 1 wants you to think, the original readers to go, oh, people are like trees. This is also, says scholar and theologian Tim Mackey, as well as this, this book is just doing a work on me. Reforesting Faith, What Trees Teach Us About the Nature of God and His Love for Us by Matthew Sleeth, MD. He's a medical doctor. And yet he came to faith through his study of trees. And he found the divine. The book. Come on. Now, back to the beginning. Genesis 2, verse 9. The Lord God made all kinds of what? Eights. Grow out of the ground trees that were what? Pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Within the first two chapters of the Bible, life, death, human agency, respiration, aesthetics, human purpose, and connection to God are all tied to trees. Without humans, trees would manage. Without trees, people would perish. Good to know, right? How interesting. So within that, in the beginning then, there is a tree. So in the beginning, there is a tree of life, as it tells us. Many trees, but there's a tree. We need to get this. Now, is it any surprise? I love this. Any surprise that the human respiratory system mirrors an oak tree? This picture is a bronchogram, but it can be pronounced branchogram. It's of our respiratory system. Or our respiratory tree, our respiratory system is, by the way, like an inverted oak tree. Next picture gives another one, like a better example. Our respiratory system is like an inverted oak tree. That's what it is. Isn't that, oh, of course, beautiful. Yep, beautiful. And of course, as we just read, a tree is central to the beginning of our story, and a tree is central to the end of the story. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, to the one of the letters to the church in Ephesus, the letter to the church in Ephesus is, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, that word in the Greek is Nikeo, which is where we get Nike. I kid you not, that's where Nike comes from. It means victory. So victorious, the one who is Nike. I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Oh, sometime that we will do the seven letters to the churches in Revelation again. But Revelation 22, 1 to 2. So the end, the last chapter of the Bible. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. We've looked at this text. Now, that means that the end of our story is a tree. The beginning of a story, tree. End of the story, tree. So, and then what is fascinating is the most common metaphor used throughout the scripture to explain what humans are to be like is, the eighth tree. We are to be like this tree of life, in fact, is how it will go, being life-giving for others. And in light of the last 18 months for us, is anyone hungry for just a tad bit of wisdom? Yeah? Great. Well, for gaining wisdom, how does this look? Well, of course, and what do you think wisdom is like? In the book of Proverbs, wisdom literature, it says this. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 and 18. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. Well, what is wisdom like? She is a tree of life to those who hug her, hold her, take hold of her. Well, wisdom is like the tree of life. Stunning. And with a tree in the beginning and a tree in the end, this simply reveals that we live between the trees. Right? We live in between the trees. And one who garners and gardens wisdom is one who is like a tree. And the gardening we do, that is our lives, renders our hands weathered, flesh with dirt, under the nails, blistered from tools used in cultivating, planting, and caring, not to mention the aroma that emanates from our lives as we work with the natural fertilizer. Yeah, what this is it's a picture of the church which waters with love and prunes with passion and purpose. The prophet Isaiah places on the lips of the divine, Isaiah chapter 65, verses 22 and 23, for like the days of a what? An eighth, so will be the days of my people. Oh, listen to what the divine desires for his people. The days of my people would be like the days of a tree, and my chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain nor bear children for calamity, for they are the seed of those blessed by the Lord, as well as descendants with them. That word seed, zara, is to be sown. That's what it means. Oh, so then it's, for they are to be sown of those blessed by the Lord. It's just a movement. It is this incredible agricultural picture. The largest and longest living thing in the scriptures is trees. The largest things and the longest living in the scriptures are trees, which is the desire of the divine for our story. Oh, that your life would be like a tree. What does God want for us? I just want it to be long, strong, and tall. That's God's heart for us. And at the heart of this story is the God who enters into the garden of creation, the God who lives with us and overcomes all obstacles by going through the worst humanity can dish out, including a violent death. Why? For the purpose of rescue and renewal, which takes place by the way of, so how do the early church writers write about this? In the book of Acts, it says this, Acts chapter 5, verse 30, "The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a what? Cross." But here's the thing, the Greek word for an upright stake, which is what they would call a cross, an upright stake, is actually the word staros in Greek, which can be found in the Bible. Yet in this writing, the writer is trying to communicate something different, so they use a different word. The word used here for cross is actually a much bigger and broader meaning for the church. It's the word exulon. Go ahead and say exulon, which means wood or tree. Actually, the writers, the church, the way they wrote about this, we say cross, they said tree all the time. Our Savior was killed on a tree. So this is in Deuteronomy 21:23, it says this, which is really important in the Hebrew scriptures. Anyone who is hung on an eitz or a tree is under God's curse. That's why they say this. Oh, if you're hung on a tree, it means you're cursed. So the New Testament writers are shouting that Jesus voids the curse by absorbing the curse and revealing a renewed life on the other side of this, which also means Jesus did not violently retaliate. So important. Rather, he faced, went through, and overcame the curse. He didn't crush it with violence. He absorbed it and went through it. And this is how the first Christians and writers of the New Testament most often speak of the crucifixion. Jesus, our Jesus, was killed on a tree. First Peter says this, Peter's writing, he says this, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the exulon, so that we might die to sins." Why did this happen? So that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. "By his wounds you have been healed." Jesus absorbs death, heals our wounds, and provides the power to die to that which is death. That we would die to those things that are death, so that we could produce a life of what? Fruit. So our story, the story, begins with a tree and ends with a tree, and is redeemed and reconciled with Jesus on a tree. What you have in the story is you have the Savior extending his arms and saying, "Tree, tree, I reconcile you on a tree." Do you see this picture that the text is giving us? Which takes us to the climax of John's gospel. Chapter 12 is the climax, where Jesus offers his central metaphor for how we are to discover life, the meaning, purpose, and deepest depths of life. John chapter 12, verses 23 to 24 say this, "Jesus replied, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and what? Dies and is buried,'" is what it is in here. "'It remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds,'" or your translation might say, "it produces much fruit." Oh. And all of this is a setup. These two verses are a setup for one of my favorite. I can't just say favorite because then... But it's one of them. I can't just land there and be done, but it's certainly one of my favorite verses, verse 25. If you love your life, you'll lose it. If you hate your life, and hate here just means to place second. If you hate your life in this world, you'll keep it for the life of the coming age. Now, these words life, they're suke life, that's the first two mentioned, which is to say, if you love that, if you cling to the small life, you'll lose it. But if you can die to the small life, then you can gain the zoe life, the outside of time, the bigger life, is what that's saying. Rather than being stuck in the small self, the single seed life, we die to the tiny to make way for the transcendent, which is all about planting seed, which means to reproduce that which has been planted within each and every one of you, which is what we find in the poetic, melodic, first song in the songbook known as the Psalms. So Psalm 1 says this, Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed or fruitful is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the instruction, the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is what? Like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, what's fruitful? This is simply an invitation to center ourselves, to plant ourselves near streams of living water, which provides the way for being a strong rooted tree. And here's the thing, a strong rooted tree is actually pliable. It's flexible. If a tree has roots that go deep and are strong, then that thing is green, it's flush. So when the winds and storms come, what do you see a tree do? Is that how we see life? As we grow older, we grow more pliable. Is that true of people you know who are getting older? They're just so flexible, like a heart, right? But this is what the scriptures say. When we plant ourselves in living water, we actually become more pliable, open, flexible. Somebody says something we don't agree with, we don't lose the oh, sweetheart. You who just, okay, well, let's talk about it. How did you get there? How did you get to learn that? I'm not going to lose the plot because I'm growing strong and rooted, and so I'm not going to be knocked off center by you saying what you said. I'd like to just know where you got that from. Are you with me? Yeah. Okay. So when you combine the life that Jesus lived, a life of serving and sacrifice, which is the life he willingly gave, the kind of life Jesus summons us to, it raises one last question. We're almost done. What do you call a tree planted by living water that produces fruit and whose leaf does not wither? That question takes us back to the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, what we just looked at. Do you have that in there? Nope. Okay, can you go back to Revelation 22? Can you find that in there? Otherwise, I'll read that to you. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal. Yeah, thanks, Sawyer. Flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of, what do you call it? Well, you call it a tree of life. That's what this kind of tree planted by streams of living water is, whose leaf does not wither and produces fruit. It's bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. What'd we say? Jelly of the club? Or jelly of the month club? Right, because it's always just keeps producing. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. The leaves don't wither and they provide healing for all people everywhere. And oh, by the way, on each side of the river of the exulon of life, is what it says there. To die to the small, the selfish, and the greedy is a picture of surrendering and planting the seed that has been planted within us. I'm going to take that gift that has been given to me, and I'm not going to get cranked up and lose the plot over little itty-bitty things, the small life. No. I'm going to plant that in the ground so that more can come. Because what happens when we plant that seed in the ground? Well, all of a sudden now we have a forest of fruit-bearing trees, trees of blessing whose leaves never wither. That which began as a garden in the beginning has blossomed into a garden city in the end. And it's where here that we participate with the divine forever. Friends, there is a tree in the beginning, and there is a tree in the end. And they're held together by an outstretched Savior who is reconciling it all together in and through himself. Sacrificial love that pulls it all back together and says, through this, in this, I am renewing, redeeming, reconciling, and restoring all things, including you and me. With that, let's step into a couple stories of surrender, of planting, and of fruit producing. So, would you join me in welcoming Taylor, I am not related to Wally by blood, Harrison. Do you want a stool to sit on? No. You want to stand? You want to stand by one tree and I'll stand by the other. How's that? Okay, maybe you come forward so these people don't know, or I'll stand back. This is Taylor. So, and Taylor. So 2 years ago, Taylor got baptized on one baptism. But I want to peel back a little bit. We saw in her video, we just got a little snippet. But I'd like to pull back and ask, Taylor, when you first engaged with Walker Harbor, what had been, before coming, what had been your church experience in your 18 years of life at that point, right? 18 years of life. 17, 18. So what had been your church experience before that?
So my grandma was a Jehovah's Witness.
Is this on?
There we go. Yep.
My grandma was a Jehovah's Witness. So when I was like younger, I went there. But that's like kind of scary as a kid. Like it's very different. And so that turned me off to church for a long time. And then in high school, I went because my best friend begged me to go to church with her. And then I moved churches twice. And then I came to Walker Harbor on a new end Wednesday.
On a new wine, I see, now this is just a good time. So she, and when we had talked about this, and we had spent a little bit of time together, she said, very, very little church background, like just punched into a couple of churches, and we talked a bit about that in her experience, because one of them was video. Like she went to the building, and they sat, and they watched though someone else on screen from somewhere else in the city, and I remember you, and you remember this? So think about, we get up and we sing, and it's gorgeous, and it's beautiful, and we just love to get up and sing and worship God through song. I remember when Taylor and I first talked, and she's like, yeah, I remember going to this building, and then people got up and sang these songs. And she's like, it was so weird. Think about that, though. If you've never been to church, and you walk in, and now people are going to gather, are going to stand up and sing. Do you do this often in life? You get together with people and sing, and real quick, and she said, I remember looking at the screen, and she's like, the blood of the lamb, and she's like, what is going on? We're all gathered together, and we're singing about bloody animals? How? She was like, what is this? Do you remember saying that?
Yeah,
it was great. I do, because I'm like, to think about, do we help people engage and go, oh, by the way, maybe for you, getting up and singing with a group of people, and there's some words on the screen that you go, what in the world? That maybe we could unpack that for people a little bit. Because we had conversation, why? Because you said you came to New Wine Wednesday. What was that New Wine Wednesday series we were doing?
wasn't it the seven letters of Revelation?
Yeah. So you have this much church experience. You show up to this place, and we are going to talk about the book of Revelation. Now, I found this so fun when we were talking because most people who have been in church, to them, the book of Revelation is, wait a minute, right? And Taylor, so if you're unfamiliar with New Wine Wednesday, we have a meal together, and then there is some sort of like there, I was teaching, I was kind of walking through the context of these letters, and then it was dialogue. We had conversation. People could raise their hand and ask questions. Taylor was sitting in the front row, and I just remember I'm doing this, and I'm really excited because who's got questions? And I remember, and she keeps raising her hand, and I remember, and I'm like, yeah, what do you got? And what do you got? And she just kept asking questions, and I remember somebody was like saying something, and at one point she raised her hand, and she looked around, and she goes, he said we could ask questions. Because she was picking up on, like, everyone's like, you're asking a lot of questions. She's like, isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? I was sitting here going, this person is my hero. It was so much fun. So sorry. But then, so you asked questions. Then we got together at a coffee house. And do you remember what you asked me?
No.
Well, one, you pointed out, like, so I'm unfamiliar with the Bible. The Bible is about real people in real places in real time experiencing something. I'm experiencing something too, and I want more. Do you remember asking, what next? She had said it a little bit on video. What next? So then we just talked about what does it mean to take that next right step with God? And then we grabbed coffee again and talked about baptism. But before baptism, what did you do?
Went to Youth Week.
Went to Youth Week as a camper. So you just, at that point, just graduated high school, but still fell in the thing. So you went to Youth Week, and Jonathan from Matazul, our partner, he was the speaker. So you guys had a little bit of a bond then, right?
Yeah.
Because Jonathan knew Walker Harbor but didn't know the wider thing. Taylor knew, like, because of that. So they were like little buddies that week. And he could always find you because what did you wear each day of Youth Week?
A Love Walker shirt.
I was
the only kid from Walker, so they knew who I was.
Yeah. So she made sure that she got a different color so she could wear a different color Love Walker shirt each day of Youth Week. So I remember like showing up and I'm like, there's Taylor, there's the Love Walker, you know, going by there. It was really fun. But so you experienced something there. Then we just kept talking and you're like, baptism. Because like you said in the video, I just want to tell everyone this is what is happening in me and I want to celebrate that. And that was your center. Then this past, so 2020 was a wash. Did you guys all pick up on that? Like 2020 was a bit of a, so she though, but you are now out, you signed up to be a leader for Youth Week. And then it was, didn't happen, but this year it did. So what did you do?
I was leader of 7th and 8th grade girls for the week. They're leading.
Why did you want to do that?
Well, when I went to Youth Week, like, the leaders are a big part of it. Like, you wouldn't really, like, think about it, I guess, because when I went, there was 300 kids. This year, there was a little bit shy of 200, I think they said. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, people poured into me and showed me everything and made Youth Week great. And I was like, I want to do that for, like, other kids because I had great experiences with the leaders when I was there. So I was like, I want to be the cool leader, you know, but, like, also the one that's, like, there for them, so.
Yeah. So you then turn around and said, yeah, I'll be there. Which, on the outside looking in, because maybe we go, oh, that's fine. But to me, I was just like, wow. Because what I have picked up in knowing Taylor is, oh, great, what's that next right step? What's that next right step? And then when it's laid out, we'll go do this. Because as maybe you all, your experience with middle schoolers, Stan tells stories all the time, you go, I think I'll spend a week with them. You know, in a hot environment, and we're going to be stuck in a room, and then we'll play crazy games, and we'll go and serve everywhere. I'd like to do that with a bunch of middle schoolers. What? That's where you go, well, of course God is real. Right? But that was something, and you poured in. And so then today, you get to go back into the waters at Geneva, but why?
Because one of my students from Youth Week is getting baptized today.
Man, so good. And do they ever contact you now after Youth Week?
They text me about every day, at least a few of them. At least every Sunday, I think I get like 4 or 5 texts or phone calls. And they're just like, can I talk to you about... And then sometimes it's like very random. And I'm like, sure. You're like, yeah, I've got nothing else going on. So I'm like, go ahead.
Taylor, can I just say, that's fruit bearing. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Plant, like... So being moved, and then says, well, more, please. Take that, bury it in the ground, plant that, and then go, wow, look at this curious life chasing after the divine, and fruit just starts bursting everywhere. Well done, Taylor. What a gift. Chris Miller. Would you all welcome Chris Miller? You have to come up here. Just because you're 6'7" doesn't mean we all just get to see you from wherever. Hey.
I'll stand in the back.
I know. You do. You want to just stay in the back. That's lovely. But we want to hear you.
Okay.
You want to sit in a stool? I will stay standing, and then we'll look in each other's eyes. I'm just kidding. No, you got to step. That's fine. It's fine. So, Chris, you're getting baptized today.
Right.
Right. Now, can you, if I just say why, you can? Could you at least say when you were 7 or 8? You were 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah. There was a dunk tank. It was, you know, something like this, and it was up on a stage, and I just remember that I really wanted to be a part of that, but I don't think I could, because my parents didn't sign off on it or whatever, and, but it was just so early that I really don't know if it happened or not. So,
yeah, when we sat down and chatted, you said, I actually just don't know if it happened. I don't know if it happened. So you wanted to get baptized then because you go, no, I want to. I mean, in the way you said it, it's like, I want to experience that. That's fun. That's fun. But Chris, the way you said it, to go, I'm not getting baptized for something that just happened, but I want to get baptized to celebrate that which has been happening.
Yeah, it's the walk. It's, you know, everything that's happened. I would say July was the best month of my life, and that was just last month, so.
Just in case you didn't pick up on that, we're in August.
Yeah.
July. Perfect.
Yeah, in July I met my birth father who left at when I was born. So bought a motorcycle a couple months ago, 3 months ago now, and took a road trip down to California and met him and extended family as well. So it was very fruitful. And, you know, God's timing is perfect. Very thankful. So... leading up to my baptism, you know, I saw Tyler do it.
Yeah.
You know, a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
same when Taylor got baptized. So Tyler, some of you would know, but it's some of the guys especially because he was a part of this guys group that gets together on Wednesday.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm a part of the guys group as well. And hearing Tyler's stories and just being with him on an occasion, and then seeing him go through that baptism, I wanted that for myself.
So, and I had to, and so this is like in a public apology and letting you know, I texted Tyler last night.
Oh yeah, he reached out to me.
Did he see that?
That was good.
Good, okay, so I don't have to apologize then. Why are you going to make me apologize? But I just wanted to let Tyler know, Tyler, your story, because it's rooted in the story, keeps on going. It's just continuing to produce fruit. Because he said that, and I'm like, so Chris is going to share, Chris is going to get dunked, and he said to me, oh, I remember when Tyler, it was a jolt, like there was this thing in you like, yeah, me too. Man, oh man. That is so awesome. So, whatever age, like, I don't know if I had done this before, but what I want is to celebrate this and that which God has been doing. So,
yeah, it's not that I want to get baptized so that I'm saved. I feel that I'm already saved, and that we have a great relationship. You know, Jesus and I, we're talking all the time, and it's been very good. This is just a celebration, as you put it. Those are your words.
Yeah.
But for me, it's just, I feel that I've been pulled away to not want to go to this baptism. Like, hey, there's other things. Like, there's this big wedding that I was invited to yesterday in another state. And I really wanted to go. It was my new family that I just met in July. And so I felt the pull to kind of get me away from being baptized. But it was hard to say no, but I said no. I didn't want a late flight getting back into Grand Rapids and racing. And so I just felt kind of different tugs. And my heart's really set on this. And I sent out a text to all my kids. I have four kids. And just said, hey, I'm getting baptized. It looks fun. And I'd like for you guys to be there. And my 20-year-old, he said, Dad, you know, in a text, I don't think you want to do that because it's fun.
But you do.
I got some learning to do, but we're here to celebrate my walk.
Yeah, I love that. When he said that story, he's like, well, it's not why, but when he said it in text, and you like his 20-year-old son going, well, I think we've got some theological issues, Dad. That's awesome. No, I'm so thrilled. And it was so great to spend that time together this week, which, by the way, how did we start our time? Before we could talk, we had to do what?
I'm sorry, Wally.
No, it was great.
I was a missionary in Mexico for 3 years, and in our front yard we had a mango tree, and I love these yellow-colored mangoes. And Costco has them right now, six-pack. And they're delicious. They're super sweet, and it's a tree, which...
So you said before we talk, we must eat.
We feast.
We feast. That's right. Sorry, your words. We feast.
We got really sticky, and they were really sweet.
Right,
And then it just kind of broke the ice right away, and we had a good conversation after.
So good. But that brings you back to your time in Mexico. Just those tangible, sticky... Literally, things, though. That was fantastic. All of it. It just all holds hands so much. It's meant the world to me, and I love this. I love that it holds hands with our men's group, that we just want to see more and more of people sharing their story and connecting and spurring one another on. That's how you had said it with Tyler. Like, man, it just spurs us on. Like, that we do that because it's planting, and producing fruit. And that fruit goes so far. Way beyond this gathering. It's so easy sometimes to look around and go, oh, our church, like some people ask you, how big is your church? And you're like, I don't know, 60 people? Please, get out of here. Oh, we meet on Sunday when we gather, but then there's youth week. Then there is men's group. Then there is on, and you go to your work, and why is it important that we live this out there? Because it's fruit. It's like we see your life as riding around on a bike, cruiser, let's not do gears, cruiser bike, you've got a basket in front and basket in back so you can just have fruit in there and you ride around chucking fruit at people. That is your life. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. And it's so good. So we're going to celebrate with Chris today, and we've got he had asked a few people to participate in dunking him today. Some logistics reasons, right? Because we've got to have all hands on deck here. And then, but more so, these are people who have played a key role in your faith journey, in your life. And so that's good. So we're going to do that and celebrate and be glad, because I really did want to bring my cruiser bike and have fruit on it and chuck fruit at you today. That was plan B we'll do trees, but what I would like to do is ride around and throw fruit at you. But I did not do that. So you're welcome. My wife was like, oh, stick with the trees, man. Okay. That is hopefully tying some clouds together throughout this series. But we live this life, you see, within the meta-narrative of Scripture, from tree to tree, with trees holding together, more so a Savior on a tree who's saying, I can go and take on the worst that you can dish out, and I will embrace it, absorb it, and go through it and come out the other side so that you can have a seed planted in you. And you can take that seed, and it's yours to do what you will with it. What will be your center? Will you plant that for an abundant fruit orchard? Or we can cling to it, hold on to it, try and control it. Our choice. May you plant that seed. Because we need fruit, which leads to new wine. Yeah, we'll get there. All right, gracious God, we bless you for the gift of right here, right now. God, I bless you for Taylor. I bless you for Chris. What you, God, have been doing in their lives and through their lives. And then these folks here, God, what you are doing, how you're nudging, pulling, compelling, calling each and every one of us to plant our lives in living, near living water, in you, that our center would be you, so that our roots would be strong and we would grow more and more fruitful and flexible in and through you, God. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this community. Grateful for the way that you love us, pour into us, that we can break ourselves open and pour ourselves out so that more and more and more and more people will find their way back to you. This is our worship. Here is our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.